Marius Ruert is head of campaigns at the Institute for Race Relations. Marius, lovely to have you with us. Thank you for sharing with us your insights. And we had by-elections last week. They almost seem to just disappear and get forgotten. I keep a list of the by-elections. We've now had 287 since the November 2021 election. And that was the local government election. We don't have by-elections for national government. Well, you can perhaps tell us that. Why don't we? If an MP in national government were to resign, why don't we get the chance to actually find their successor?
For national and provincial elections, we have a pure proportional representation system where MPs and members of provincial legislatures are elected from party lists. So when a party, when we have our national elections and a party gets, say, 20 MPs, the people MP resigns or retires or passes away or gets kicked out of the party, then what happens is the next person on that list simply comes and replaces him. When it comes to local government elections, we have a mixed system where half our councillors are elected from wards, which are effectively constituencies, and then the other half are elected from similar kinds of lists that we get at national and provincial level. That's to ensure proportionality, because if we elected our various representatives just from geographical constituencies, we'd have some kind of, there'd be a disconnect between the proportion of vote that a party got and then their overall seat representation. I think what happened in the UK now is a very good example of that, where the Labour Party got over 60% of the seats in Westminster.
Let's go back to what happened on the 23rd of October. The DA had five wards that they won, but what was so interesting of this? There was a ward in Stellenbosch where they went from 85%, okay, pretty cool, that's high, to 98.6%. I mean, that's just like, it seems impossible that 98.6% of the people who went and voted for their local councillor went with DA. Pretty much across the board. There was one in Emalahleni where the previous amount was 60%. That went up to 88.5%, which is extraordinarily high. These are not exceptions. Looking through previous by-elections, it's almost like the DA faithful are coming out more and more now to support their party. There was one in J.B. Marks municipality, and I couldn't believe this. I had to double-check the number. On the 11th of September, where the DA's share of the vote in that ward was 99.2%, which it sounds impossible to me, but there it is.
Yeah, when it comes to by-elections, it's also important, I think, to see what the local conditions were. So that the election in Stellenbosch, it was a very low turnout election. Only 4% of registered voters actually came out to vote. And I think that's because it's a lot of students in that area and was student holidays. So a lot of students weren't there. So I think you should take that one with a pinch of salt. The election in Emalahleni, as you said, the DA went from 60% to nearly 90%. But I think what was important there is that the Freedom Front Plus didn't run a candidate. And in the local government election in 2021, the Freedom Front Plus got nearly 20% of the vote. So obviously what happened in Emalahleni, I'd imagine that most of the Freedom Front Plus's supporters decided to vote for the DA in that election. I think when we look at that since 2021, and especially since the May election, some other parties, especially the Patriotic Alliance, seems to be doing not too badly. And the ANC, as has been the case, outside of KwaZulu-Natal and outside of most of the cities, the ANC support is also pretty steady. So I think that's what you got to do when you look at by-elections. You need to look at it holistically and see what the trend is. So yeah, as I say, I think it's important to look at this, from a kind of bird's eye view, but these trends are important to look at, I think.
It's not often that the Patriotic Alliance actually wins these wards, or not often since the November 2021. Do you want to just take us through the story there in George?
In the local Gums election, it was actually a ward that was won by the Good Party, but it was quite a marginal ward. The Good won it with 27% of the vote. Patriotic Alliance in that election actually didn't even get 1%. They got 16 votes in total, which came to 0.9%. Then a by-election was held there last year. the Patriotic Alliance saw its support go from less than 1% to nearly 26%, which was actually enough for it to win that ward. That's because the vote was split between the ANC, the DA, and a local party called the Plaaslike Besorgde Inwoners. Each of those parties got just over 20%, but the PA managed to they came out of the single biggest party with nearly 26%. And then there was another by-election because the PA, a guy who had been elected there, he actually defected to the DA. But in now in the by-election that was held just a couple of days ago, the PA actually saw its support go up to over 50%. So it went from getting only 16 votes in the local guns election, that particular ward, to getting nearly 1,500 in the by-election that was held now a few weeks ago. So there's definitely something going on with the Patriotic Alliance. Another ward there where I think the Patriotic Alliance did well, which is also worth pointing out, is in there's the same set of by-elections now, just the last week on the 23rd of October, in Musu Kaligwa, which is Ermelo. Patriotic Alliance, they didn't win, the DA won that ward, but they managed to get 27% of the vote. They were the second biggest party in that ward. And I think what's interesting is that before that, the PA didn't even field the candidates in the local Gums elections in that municipality. They didn't even think it was they didn't field the candidate because they didn't think they really had the support. But now in this by-election, they got 27% of the vote. Look, it was a low turnout by-election. Only 20% of people came out to vote. So it translated to 180 votes for the Patriotic Alliance. But I think it's quite telling that the PA is doing well also in areas because this is in Ermelo. So it's obviously not a place where you get too many colored people staying. And generally, we think of the PA as kind of a colored interest party. But it's obviously doing pretty well in places where you don't get too many colored people. So I think Gayton McKenzie's message is obviously starting to resonate with people. And we also recently saw polling that came out from the Social Research Foundation. The PA's polling is looking pretty good. I think the Social Research Foundation had them at around about 4 or 5% in its most recent polling.
From 2%,
so I think it's
from around 2% in the election.
Yeah, 2% in the exactly. So obviously, people are liking what Gayton McKenzie is doing and the kind of messages putting forward. I think
that switch of the councillor from the PA to the DA, and then the voters saying, "Okay, well, we don't like you. We actually prefer the partner, the party more," must be sending messages to the Democratic Alliance.
Yeah, I think, as I was saying, I'm not sure if your listeners heard because it was breaking up, but I think it's also important to see the kind of dynamics in a local ward or in a by-election or whatever the case is. So it might have been that the person that's the new candidate for the PA was maybe a well-known local community activist or, you know, somebody who's got pretty good name recognition. So I think it's important to look at these kind of issues holistically. And I think the DAs will have to see how it's been doing in other places where, you know, it's been going up against the PA. And look, it hasn't all been completely plain sailing for the PA. Since the May election, it has actually lost two wards to the DA. One was in Beaufort West and not the other place. I can't remember exactly where the other one was. So, you know, it's not exactly like the PA is this juggernaut where it's winning just all these DA wards. It's all pretty complicated and complex. And as I say, there's lots of local dynamics that happens in ward elections and local by-elections that you've got to keep a lookout for. But as I say, you've got to look at the overall trend, and that kind of starts giving you the direction of travel, I think.
On Monday, Makoni said that you, in conversation with her, said there was something quite relevant about those by-elections last week and the EFF.
Or not just last week. So since the May national election, there have been 78 by-elections in total. And what was interesting is that the EFF has only stood candidates in 43 of those by-elections, so just over 50%. But what's relevant about that is since the local government elections in 2021, up until the May elections, there were about 220 by-elections since the local government elections up until the May general election. And the EFF stood candidates in every single by-election, even in places where they didn't have where they didn't even have a snowball's chance. I mean, there was an election in Middelburg, in the Steve Tshwete municipality in Mpumalanga, last year in June, where the EFF candidate, he didn't get a single vote. He literally got zero votes. So the EFF was standing candidates all over in places where they absolutely didn't have a chance. You know, they'd stand candidates in Sea Point or in Bryanston in Johannesburg or something, places where they really had no chance whatsoever. And since the May elections, they seem to have changed their strategy. In last week's local government elections, they didn't stand any candidates whatsoever. So there's either a change in strategy in the EFF where they've decided it's a waste of resources to stand candidates in every single by-election. No other political party does that. Even the ANC has stood out hasn't run in every single by-election. It runs in most by-elections, even in places where it doesn't have a chance, but every now and again it decides to take a step back. The DA doesn't do that. The DA only stands in by-elections where it's got a pretty good chance of winning the ward. So I think it's quite interesting that the EFF has changed the strategy, and you've got to ask why. Has it changed the strategy because it's actually deciding to do things differently, or are there problems within that party? Are there financial problems, or are they struggling to get candidates to stand for them? And I think it's all linked to what's been happening with the EFF since the May elections, where I think they had a pretty disappointing election, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, where they only got 2% of the vote. And we've already seen, I mean, a second most prominent person, Floyd Shivambu, has defected from the party to go to MK. And we've all seen people like Busisiwe Mkhwebane and a couple of other people who've left the EFF or MK. So I wonder if this is symptomatic of some other more serious problems within the party. So it's definitely something, I think, to keep a watch out in the future.
Marius Ruart, and thanks for persevering with us, Marius. He is with the Institute for Race Relations, campaign manager.